people like to use the word someday. And someday really is a code word for saying, I'm never going to do this. I'm never going to do that. And last week we talked about how Sunday has hijacked the word evangelism, because we'll put off evangelizing by saying, well, someday I'll share Jesus with these people. But we put it off. This week we're going to look at a different word. We're going to look at a different word that someday has hijacked. And that word is community. That word is community that the word Sunday has hijacked. Someday I will be involved in the church or be a part of the church. Let's define the term community. Community is living in a way where you are sharing your life and your faith with other believers. It is the church. It is our community in Christ. And as a community, it should be incredible. I found this written about the community of the church, and I want to share this with you. I don't have it on the screen, so just listen to what I say here. In community, doubts are shared, questions can be asked, confession can take place. In community, trust can be found, faith is developed, relationships are healed. In community, hope can flourish, and joy can be renewed. In community, we can be honest about fears. We can also share a prayer with one another. And community is a place where a lot can happen. Yet it's not a place at all. Because community is a food. Community is people. See, we could just look at each other and say we're just a bunch of different people. We're all just different people with different personalities. We act differently. We do things differently. Kind of like, you know, these guys on the street. Don't you remember their names? What were their names? I'm hearing them all. Dopey, grumpy, happy, sneezy, grumpy, bashful, sleepy, Doc. Why didn't he get a name that described his personality?
He was prescribing them all meds.
He was prescribing them all medication. That may be true. You could look at all those guys and see those different personalities and say they're each their own individual. They're separate. But together, they can work with each other in their different personalities and their different talents and be there for each other with their different weaknesses and different strengths and be a community. Just as we can as well. We have been called to be a community. See, my first point this morning is we're not meant for isolation. We're not meant for isolation. We see a wonderful example of that in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, if you want to turn your Bibles over to there, I'm going to read part of it out of the scriptures. Part of it, we're going to have the verses on the screen. But in Acts chapter 2, we read about the day of Pentecost. And in verse 41, we read a wonderful thing that happened. Verse 41, those who accepted his message, and his message was Paul's message about Jesus. Those who accepted his message were baptized. And were about 300 were added to their number that day. Or 3,000, I said 300. I'm having a hard time reading that this morning. But about 3,000 were added to the number that day. They were baptized. They came to know the Lord. That's exciting. But here's the thing. We don't do it alone. It wasn't, okay, you're baptized. Bye, see ya. Go have fun. Enjoy your life. Look at what happens next. Follow along with me in your Bibles. The very next verse. They devoted themselves to the apostles. apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Verse 41, they're baptized. Verse 42, what are they doing? They immediately were community. Immediately, community. They did not choose to be isolated after baptism, after they were saved. Remember verse 38, if you want to look back earlier in the chapter, or you can look on the screen. Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." They are baptized into Christ. They received the gift of the Holy Spirit and they gravitated towards one another. The Holy Spirit came in and desired for them to be community. See, point two this morning, we are meant to be together. We are meant to be together. I think of Jesus' words found in Matthew 18, 20. "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them." God wants us to be together. He doesn't want us to be alone. So we don't say, "Okay, someday I'll get involved. Someday I'll be a part of the church. One day I'll do that. Someday." No. The time is now. If you're not involved now, then the time is now. For a follower of Christ, if we are a follower of Christ, then we are called to be together. There's a word for it. We find it in Acts chapter 2. You may not recognize that word, but I'll share it with you in just a second. Acts 2:42 says this: "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer." The word there, third line up on the screen, first word, fellowship. There's a Greek word you've all heard many times before. Koinonia. Koinonia. Koinonia means the share that they share everything. Participation, things. In other words, of community anywhere. You can't have Jesus without the church. The gospel is always personal, but it is not private. You don't just belong to Jesus. You belong also to everybody who belongs to Jesus. We live in a world today where people say, yeah, I like Jesus. I like that guy. I just don't like his church. You heard that one before? That's not biblical. It's not right. There are too many examples out in the Bible, out in scriptures, where we are supposed to be the church, supposed to be a community of believers. And I want to share with you a few of those verses. And let me start here in Romans 15:14. I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. Galatians 5:13. But through love, serve one another. Ephesians 4:2. Bearing with one another in love. Ephesians 4:21. Assuming that you have heard about him when we're taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus. How do we teach if we are by ourselves? Or how are we taught if we are by ourselves? Ephesians 5:19 and 21. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Romans 16:16, greet one another with a holy kiss. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. 1 Thessalonians 4:9 and 18. Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. And James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The power of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Let me ask you, I've read, 10, 12 verses there? How can we do any of those verses if we are isolated? How can we? How can we teach one another if we're not around one another? How can we pray for each other if we're not around each other? How can we sing songs together if we are not together? How can we love one another if we don't want to be around one another? You can't do these passages alone. We are designed to follow Jesus. You're designed, I am designed, we're all designed to follow Jesus. We're not designed to follow Jesus alone. We're designed to follow Jesus together. Talk about how we're supposed to be in community. Now I want to talk about the benefits of community. Point 3 this morning. In community, there is protection. Sometimes we forget we're in a spiritual war. Satan is trying his best to get us to fall away, to get us to turn from God. We are in a spiritual war with him. Ephesians 6:12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. If we're isolated, Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kinds of sufferings. It's hard to stand firm alone. We need to be a community for protection, not to let each other fall away. We're alone. Next point this morning, community. In community, there is provision. We are there when each other is in need. If you turn over to Acts chapter 4, just a couple pages over from Acts 2, we read at the end of the chapter, in verses 32 through 35, these words. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any one of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. As believers, this community, the early church, was devoted to other people's needs. If someone needed something, there was somebody there to help them. They met the needs in that community. As a church today, we are to do the same thing. When someone is in need, we work to meet those needs. We do our best to help those in need. song of invitation.